Imagine kneeling before someone and feeling not diminished, but empowered. This paradox sits at the heart of Praise, a romance that has captured readers' attention not just for its steamy scenes, but for its profound emotional insights. Beyond the forbidden age gap relationship and explicit content lies a nuanced exploration of how validation can heal our deepest wounds. When Charlie accidentally meets her ex-boyfriend's father, Everson Grant, a simple misunderstanding awakens desires she never knew existed. What follows is a journey through power, vulnerability, and the transformative potential of being truly seen by another person. 7 years before meeting Charlie, Emerson Grant and his colleagues created the Salacious Players Club after a bar conversation about sexual preferences. Their vision? A safe environment for people to explore compatible kinks without judgment. When Charlie confronts her ex-boyfriend Beau for her security deposit and he refuses, she visits his never-discussed father to collect it herself. At a stunning Spanish-style mansion, she meets Mr. Grant, tall, imposing, with dark hair streaked with silver. Through a misunderstanding, he commands her to kneel, believing she's there for an arrangement. More surprising than his command is her reaction. She kneels, strangely affected by his presence. After the confusion clears, he apologizes and writes her a $5,000 check, far exceeding her $250 deposit, including his number and SPC. Research reveals this stands for Salacious Players Club and introduces Charlie to praise kink, the desire for verbal affirmation during intimate moments. Despite her feminist principles, she can't stop thinking about how right it felt when Mr. Grant called her lovely. When Emerson offers Charlie a secretary position, their professional relationship immediately crackles with tension. On her first day, she arrives wearing a transparent blouse with a black lacy bra, a bold choice setting the tone for their complicated dynamic. During a tour of the club construction, Charlie meets Emerson's business partners. The tension peaks when his partner demonstrates a dominant submissive position with Charlie, triggering Emerson's barely contained possessive fury, despite his attempts to maintain boundaries. When Charlie confronts Emerson about her feelings, their restraint breaks in a passionate encounter. She discovers BDSM not as stereotypically pain-focused, but as a negotiated power exchange built on trust and communication. Charlie finds that kneeling before Emerson, addressing him as Sir, and following his commands, paradoxically gives her freedom. During one session, she kneels beside him during a video conference. Initially disappointed by the lack of interaction, everything changes when he begins stroking her hair, forming a powerful connection as she rests against his thigh, absorbing his whispered praise. In surrendering control, Charlie finds agency. In kneeling, she stands taller than before. The BDSM elements serve as metaphors for vulnerability's healing power. Charlie, who has always felt inadequate, discovers that Emerson's dominance creates a space where she feels valued and secure. Language plays a crucial role in their development. Charlie initially struggles to express desires, embarrassed by dirty talk, a hesitation from years of emotional suppression. Emerson withholds saying, "I love you," despite feeling it deeply, avoiding promises he might break. The breakthrough comes when Emerson creates safety for Charlie's vulnerability. In his office, he helps her open up sexually by commanding her to express what she wants. This verbal freedom parallels her growing self-confidence. His praise, "good girl," "perfect," "beautiful," counteracts the negative self-talk that has dominated her since childhood. 8 days after leaving Emerson, Charlie has barely left her bed. Their relationship implodes when Beau discovers their arrangement after finding her scarf in his father's study. When confronted, Emerson, caught off guard, dismissively calls their relationship nothing, a casual word that devastates Charlie, who storms out into the rain. During her self-imposed exile, Charlie's sister Sophie drags her out for Taco Tuesday. Over fish tacos and margaritas, Sophie reveals she knew Emerson was Beau's dad all along, but stayed quiet because Charlie seemed genuinely happier than in years. When Charlie explains how she changed herself for Emerson, Sophie challenges her. Did he really make you change, or did he let you be yourself for the first time? This perspective shift forces Charlie to reconsider everything. Was she changing for Emerson, or was he creating a space where she could be authentic without judgment? The question lingers as she stares at his unanswered texts, ending with, "Please come home." Meanwhile, Emerson faces his own reckoning when Beau confronts him. Their conversation is raw, with years of father-son dynamics coming to a head. Emerson admits he loves Charlie, but promises not to pursue her if that's what his son wants, a sacrifice that visibly crushes him. The path to reconciliation begins when Charlie visits the Salacious Players Club and agrees to an encounter with another woman, hoping to provoke Emerson's jealousy. The plan succeeds as Emerson interrupts possessively, but afterward, Charlie walks away, telling him their physical connection isn't enough without public acknowledgement of their relationship. The situation climaxes when Charlie's father appears at her home to save her from moral corruption. Emerson intervenes, declaring he loves her more than her father ever could. These words break through Charlie's defenses, revealing their connection transcends societal judgment. Unexpectedly, Beau arrives and admits that while their relationship still makes him uncomfortable, he recognizes Charlie's newfound happiness, a blessing that helps heal old wounds. Later, when Emerson restrains Charlie, he punishes her not for costing him money, but for believing she wasn't worth it. As he demands she acknowledge her value, Charlie breaks down, revealing her abandonment fears stemming from her father's rejection. In this moment, BDSM becomes a vehicle for emotional healing, Emerson using dominance not just for pleasure, but for catharsis. This story offers a revolutionary perspective on relationship power dynamics. Through Charlie and Emerson's journey, traditional notions of dominance and submission are inverted. The person kneeling often holds more power than the one standing, and vulnerability becomes a source of strength rather than weakness. Their age gap, initially seeming to reinforce power imbalances, ultimately becomes irrelevant as they build a relationship based on mutual respect. The narrative challenges BDSM stigmas by portraying it as a legitimate expression of desire that, when practiced consensually, can be healing. The story validates the universal human need for affirmation. Charlie's praise kink, her desire to be told she's good, worthy, and beautiful, represents a fundamental emotional need. When Emerson whispers, "good girl," he addresses wounds that have shaped her entire life. In their final scene, those words transcend being erotic triggers to become affirmations of Charlie's transformation into someone who knows her true worth. Their story teaches that freedom can come from surrender, deep connections from vulnerability, and healing from simple words of praise. In a world equating vulnerability with weakness, perhaps the most revolutionary act is allowing ourselves to be truly seen and rising stronger for it.